Hello out there. Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. What began as a job for today's guest as a cook on the Royal Yacht Britannia in the UK's Royal Navy at 15 soon developed into a passion that led to his hit show, Diner Impossible. And more recently, another passion, providing support for the physical and mental well-being of our service members, veterans, and first responders and their families. Today, we're extremely excited to bring his history to you. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans, service members, and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USA, whose mission is taking care of the military community and their families always. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, together they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I say it every week, we love them too. Today, we're talking with an individual who is unlocking the personal and professional potential in the lives of our service members, veterans, and first responders and their families through the food, wellness, and community and financial support. And I'm excited. I'm overwhelmed here. I'm pumped up here to welcome Robert Irvine, chef, entrepreneur, author, philanthropist, tireless supporter of our nation's veterans, military, and first responders, and the founder of the Robert Irvine Foundation, and also lives in Tampa just like me. And I'm welcome to the show, Robert. Appreciate you coming on.
SMA, it's such a pleasure to be on with you. Alas, my goodness, it only took about 10 years.
Well, we got a lot to talk about. But before we get started, could you tell the audience just a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit about your personal journey?
Well, I started in the military young. My father was in the Army. My brother was in the Army. I was a sea cadet at the age of 11. Joined the Royal Navy really early. I signed my papers 15 and a half years old, joined the Navy at 16. Kind of demise was my mother would go to work. I would wave, you know, goodbye. Yeah. And I would drink my dad's beer. And
then, I like beer once in a while.
One day she called me and that was it, all over. So I joined the Royal, I joined the Navy, went to HMS Raleigh, HMS Chatham, which was then the old ropery where the old, you know, big sail ships used to get the ropes from.
Yeah.
My brother was in the Army about 2 miles away from me at Chatham Dean. And, you know, into rivalry, we still don't get on that well. But that was a journey. That's what started this epic journey for me anyway. And the rest has kind of taken its natural flow of what you do. Like, you know, I left the military after a good stint and was fortunate enough to turn what I learned in the military into, you know, 18 companies that we own now with over 9,000 employees.
Oh, wow. It's funny. You know, everybody I talk to about the military always talks about the fact that the military changed their life. You know, I went in at 17 and went basic AIT jump school and then straight to Vietnam. And I always tell everybody I went from 18 to 55 in war because war changed me a whole lot real fast. And maybe, you know, just everybody's got a story. So it changed me a lot.
You were there when they needed them and not feeding them. Yeah. You know, I came in at the feeding process.
Well, that's good. Hey, Robert, we're going to jump right into the Robert Irvine Foundation. You know, you're doing a lot of great work and doing on behalf of our, you know, our veterans and military and first responder community. Would you tell us, you know, a little bit of the history and the foundation, you know, and the mission of
so the foundation? The foundation for years and years, Jack. I travel the globe, just individually as a human doing things with the U.S. military. I wanted to make something unique. I was going on a trip to Honduras, Sotocana Air Base, yeah. And I get what was then Twitter, a tweet from Gary Sinise, who then said, "Is this the real Robert Irvine?" I said, "Well, I'm the one with a blue check mark. You don't have one. Is this the real Gary Sinise?"
There you go.
We started a lifelong friendship. We come up with this idea of Invincible Spirit Festivals. At the height of the war, we would go to the hospitals, I would feed 8,000 to 10,000 folks.
Oh, wow.
And Gary would put on a concert.
Yeah.
To this day, we still do the same thing, except there's not 8,000 to 10,000 folks anymore. We're lucky if we get, 1,000 family members come out and we barbecue and we do all those kinds of stuff. So that was kind of the early days. But I got really, it wasn't my mission. My mission was really about mental and physical health.
Yeah.
Way back when, 2014 now, and you know this, people weren't talking about PTS and PTSD and all these things. It was all about, oh, it's in your head, guys, it's in your head, which was really a bad space to be in. I wanted to do physical and mental health. So I broke away from Gary, still work with Gary to this day, but he was building homes and doing great things that he does. Yeah. I wanted to be the first one in the space of, okay, how do we take people that have been through traumatic experiences in their life, that's first responders and military folks, and get them the help they much need? And there was nobody in the country doing that. And now there's a lot of people, obviously, Elizabeth Dole, Face the Fight, etc. But when I started, there was none. So we were kind of on the cutting edge there. We'd get you out on a yump, a 54-mile march, take you over to Scotland. We have trikes for Dole amputees to get them out in Colorado, riding the bikes, really doing something different. And, of course, we feed people around the globe twice a week somewhere around the world, 300 to 3,000 people. And we've been doing that for since 2014.
Oh, wow.
We get financial aid. We do what we call iBot wheelchairs, which stand you up, right? Go over rough terrain. We give blind dog or service dogs, I beg your pardon, financial aid grants, which we're doing now still, even though the government is reopening, whatever it's doing, so people can pay their bills and get food and that kind of stuff. So RobertIrvineFoundation.org, you can check it out. Some great things going on there. Literally, tomorrow, I just mentioned to you, we're headed to Romania with Chris Donahue to feed 3,000 troops for Thanksgiving. Yeah, that's what we do. Kind of just help fill in the gaps. And, of course, the biggest one there, I am paid as a $1 a year by the United States Army to modernize its food service across the Joint Force. So it's kind of fun. I'm heading there tomorrow before we head to Romania. But we started in Fort Jackson with Fresh Kitchen. The Pentagon has a Fresh Kitchen, Victory Fresh. Now we've got another one at Fort Lee opens in December, and five big bases. Fort Hood is the first, where we're really taking a look at the human performance, and nobody's ever looked at that. And for 14 years, that's all I've done is travel the globe and look at what are we feeding our service members? How are they sleeping? And again, nobody had ever thought about that. SMA Daily, Mike Weimer, all the guys that you know, they've all been about it, but nobody could ever get it done in that, you know, you have this short period of time where you've got this power, the SMA or the Army, and then all of a sudden that time's over because you've served 4 years and we've gone really good on some things and not another. And nobody ever got a chance to do the food because it wasn't as important then. You know, guns and tanks and were more important, but the human performance, the human element for me was more important than any hardware because, as well, you know, the NCO core of our military is the backbone of our military and we have to take care of that. And that's where the food comes in. So I'm doing that as a unpaid consultant, a dollar, and I love it.
Well, I'm going to, you said so much right there. I'm going to see if I can go back and get a couple of them and get a couple of comments. One is that I've had PTSD for probably 40 or 50 years. I was overran when I was 18 years old in Vietnam, 20 wounded and 7 killed. So Yesterday we did a show and I talked about the fact that I went through anger issues for about 3 to 4 years where anything would set me off and I really didn't know what was going on. So I've talked a lot about, we need to talk to more people about the effects of war a lot earlier. And when you come in and start talking about what, not say would happen, what could happen to you in a war. So I think that's really important. And if I can ever help you, please let me know. The other thing is that where was you 30 years ago when I was in the Army or 20 years ago? Because I ate some food. I ate some food that I probably needed some help with in there any doggone way. But I mean, I liked the food. I ate what they gave me. I was 18 or 19 or 20 or went all the way to 55. But I loved the Army. But going back, I think when I was reading that comment, I said, geez, where was he a long time ago? So that's pretty cool. I'm glad you're doing that. And then the last thing I'll say is a dollar. Geez, they're not overpaying you, are they? Or do you have a contract, too, where it says $1?
I put that on. It's called a gratuitous services contract.
Oh, wow.
Meaning I'm giving it for free.
Yeah.
It's a dollar, I think, something like that. But I travel on my own. I guide the chief, Randy George, Mike Weimer. I work very closely with both of them. Trey Dock, Chris. So I work with them alongside. I'll be with Chris tomorrow at 3 o'clock in Charlotte. I helped write the RFP, knowing the failures that have happened in the past with big corporations. And we say, oh, let's privatize things. And then we don't think about it. And the problem with privatization is let's take our money off the top and then let's whatever's left, we'll use it. Well, I am not that that guy. Hey, here are the criterias. Here's what you got to follow. Executive chef on each of the places, a dietitian that knows their thing inside out. Don't give me a dietitian that's, you know, been in the business for 100 years and hasn't moved with the times or the upgrades of food that we can now get. And I give you an example of why I say that, because I used to run cruise ships. And they're no different to an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Same amount of people. I see more people. They feed them more often and more intelligently because they've thought about the way the food comes on the ship. It gets stripped from its boxes into Lexan or plastic containers, stored, freezed, refrigerated, and then it goes up. Now, if you think about an Eisenhower class aircraft carrier, 6,000 people, how many people would design a galley with 6 3-rack ovens in it? That's something I would use at home.
Yeah.
And we didn't think about that. So I took CNO Portal, which he wasn't CNO then, he was Surface Black Commander, to show him the change of our business within the civilian world is much faster paced than it is in our military. Not weapons, just the way we feed people.
Yeah. You know, one other thing, they're getting a lot better now. And I think the Secretary of Army talked about a little while ago here, but the Army, the military now talk about things for so many years. And then they say, yeah, it's a great idea, great idea. And then all of a sudden they'll say, well, it's a good idea, a good idea. And then they'll implement the program when it's outdated. And the difference in the civilian world, when they see something, they immediately jump on it and they start developing a program. We talk, we want to do the right things and we get it done. But on the other side of that, our weapon systems, I think they're trying to speed that process up to get better weapon systems and stuff like that. I got to ask you another question, and I think you've answered it already, but I want to go back and talk about it a little bit. I guess the passion that you're doing, the things that you're doing now, really came from the time that you served in the military, right? I mean, you stayed, how many years did you say you stayed?
I was in the military for, oh my God, 16, almost 17
years.
So I worked on warships. I knew what was possible. I knew what we bought from catalogs. And I knew, look, time has changed dramatically since I was in, and definitely when, I was never in your era for sure. And I was in the British coalition, the Navy, right? But I feel that armaments and techniques and training has always been the go-to, which is rightly so. But I say, if I can't, and technology has changed. So imagine getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning, going to do your PT, showering, going straight to work, not having a breakfast. But now you're a 19-year-old kid with a $180 million drone and a joystick. If you fall asleep and you lose that drone for a $5 breakfast, is it worth $180 million? The answer is simply no,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I feel the passion that I had during the military, I'm even more passionate about making sure that all our armed forces get, you know, what they need. We talk about H2F, and there's one thing you just said, Secretary of Army Dan Driscoll, Randy George, Mike Weimer. This is a winning team that are cutting through BS and making things happen. And obviously, SecDef. They're allowing things to be purchased faster without going for 10 years of a bid and then it's changing, going up.
Yeah.
So they're allowing outside influences to come in and say, well, look, nobody wants to be a 92 Golf anymore. They don't want to cook. So let's keep the ones that really do, and let's train them really well and put them, instead of just going to an admiral's house, general's house, let's put them in the forces. Let's make them feed. And when they come back from that forward operating deployment, instead of sticking them somewhere else, let's retrain them again. Because the industry changes so fast. Value-added product. You know, I don't need half the cooks to cook for 6,000 people as I did, you know, 20 years ago. The equipment's better, the value-added, you know, I don't need to make mashed potatoes and baked potatoes anymore. It's already done, it's cheaper, they're frozen, we drop them in a bag, we boil them, and we serve them. Every bite of that bag is nutritious and it's got the same amount of thing in it. So that's the way I look at it. I look at systems and procedures to feed somebody that's quick, efficient, healthy, and cost-effective.
Yeah. You know, we got to take a quick break, but I'm going to tell you a story no matter what before we take this break. When I was in Vietnam years ago, I used to break over to Claymore, take the C4 out of that, open up my C rations, and light that, put it in the end connector, drop that C4 and light it. I never stopped on or nothing, and then cook my food at C4. And I always thought that's a lot of fun here. So, hey, we need to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about the work you're doing to combat food insecurities, which we just talked about a minute ago, our military face right now. So please stay right there. I know you're not going anywhere. You're in Tampa. I love that place. I'll be right back. This is Your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12 Sergeant Major. And if you're enjoying this discussion, I know you are because we're talking to Robert Irvine, and he's talking about change. He's talking about food insecurities. He's talking about taking care of our military community and the family. I mean, that's the best thing in the world. I can't think of anything else I want to talk about today. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken. Whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with Chef Robert Irvine, tireless supporter of our veterans, military, and first responders, and the founder of the Robert Irvine Foundation. Before we get back to our discussion, I want to let you know about a way to support the work we're doing here on behalf of our veterans, their families, here at the American Freedom Foundation. If you have a used vehicle you're planning on getting rid of, or some property you don't have any plans for, you can donate it. Visit our website at AmericanFreedomFoundation.org/donate and click on that vehicle donation button or that home donation button to support our work. We really would appreciate your support. Robert, as you know, one of our many challenges our military family faces dealing with food insecurities. And I know the cause is important to you. How is the Robert Irvine Foundation really, addressing those issues?
So it is a news flash, and you're getting it first.
Okay. Right? I love news flashes.
So you've got an exclusive, Jack. So for years and years, we've been trying to figure out the civilian world is food insecure 1 in 6.
Yeah.
Right? But in the military world, it's 1 in 4, E1 through 4. We spend $200 billion a year on SNAP benefits. So together, myself and another couple of folks from R4 Technologies, actually were the founders of Priceline.com, come up with a system. We can save $100 billion for the government and give 3 and 4 times the SNAP benefits to every single person. And we're in talks about it right now with the senior leadership of our military, which will transfer, hopefully. We're already tested it in North Carolina, which works tremendously. Do you know how much money we throw away? I'll give you an idea.
Yes.
Walmart alone throws $17 billion of food away every year.
Oh, my goodness.
Real number.
Yeah.
That's a real number.
Oh, wow.
So we figured out using AI that we can take all the over abundance of food that we have that is perfectly good, that normally get, excuse the pun, tilled, like turned over into the ground, and we can relocate it and re-centralize it to places that and people that need the food. And that's the Army first. Army and Navy, you know, our military, E1 through 4, average income $36,000, right, in that broadband there. A couple of kids that are scraping by. Now, this is our military. How in the United States of America can our military be food insecure? It blows my mind. So there's a big project we're working on right now with all the secretaries, the Navy, to look at, okay, if we implement this for X amount of dollars, I think $50 million, we can save you $100 billion.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
It doesn't compute, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So we're in the middle of that. But the foundation itself is also giving out, and we did it through COVID. Same thing, any military person, they can prove their military and DD214, and we will send you a $500 gift card for food. And we're still doing that now, even though they say the government's not shut down anymore. There's still people that are suffering. And to me, it's out there banging a drum and shining a light on the people that I have in front of me. You know, this is a voice.
Yeah.
I have a voice. You know, the USO is a voice.
Yeah.
So I'm using all the tools that I have to bang on a drum to make people listen and say, look, guys, we have the solution. Look at it. It's not about money. I don't care about money. Sorry. Saving people and giving them food and making them whole is more important than making money.
Yeah.
If that makes
sense. Yeah, yeah.
I'm
going to go a little bit deep here a little bit. I was watching TV here probably 7 or 8 years ago, and they said there's 50 million kids a day that go hungry. And so 7 or 8 years ago, I said, well, that can't be true. I don't believe that. It's just, you know. So I actually walked to a school. There's a school about 2 blocks away. I walked up there, went in there, said, look, can I talk to somebody about kids? And they call it backpacking or something like that, where they give them a backpack for the weekend.
Yep.
And I said, you know, do you have children that go home hungry on the weekends? Yes. I said, you're kidding me. No. And so I said, well, let me help. And so I did the same thing. You're doing it at a smaller scale, though. So I bought turkeys. And so every year I've been buying turkeys for this school. So about 3 years ago, I started doing 2 or 3 schools. Well, this year we did 10 schools, I think it was. And we went in. And well, it's in the big scheme of it, there was not much, but children.
Jack, you have to understand it. You have to understand this, my friend. When you say it's in a big scheme, it is. Because I did a show with Michelle Obama in Washington, D.C., where the kids were, there's no store near it. They were drinking Coke and eating chocolate for breakfast.
Yeah.
They all have iPhones, but no food.
Yeah, crazy.
So those 10 schools that you're doing right now would never get that if it wasn't you doing it. So I'm a big believer in the collective whole of us, just like the Army, Navy, and Air Force. They're a bigger thing than us individually. But if collective NGOs, nonprofits, partner together to help each other, it gets done a lot faster than waiting for a government to make a decision. Although I will say, I'm very happy that we're cutting through all this red tape now and getting stuff done, because it saves the inflation of something always being, you know, it went up 68 million because we paid this loan, it went up whatever. We can take that money, give whatever it is to our end user, soldier, sailor, airman, guardian, whatever, marine, in a faster, more efficient time to help them do what they do. On the back end of that, we're taking care of their families, we're taking care of their chattels. Yeah. By the way, when we talk about food, and again, going back to your time, you had the dining facility. I hate that name. I hate it. Yeah. Not a dining facility.
Yeah.
Do you know the Secretary of Education runs the food in the military?
Oh, no, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Randolph Shepard Act. Anyway, that's a different whole story together. But I want to make it like, so I took all the senior leaders to a collegiate campus, showed them what we do with no refrigeration. Food comes in 2 o'clock, gets processed, gets fed. 2 o'clock next day, food comes in, so. And it works. And I can feed them for less than I can feed a soldier with better quality food. So training, the purchasing with DLA, which is really important, and the deals that they do. So it's not just one pillar. It's purchasing the food. It's transporting the food. It's cooking the food. It's delivering the food. And then education of the people. Because if I come from, you know, I'm from England for fish and chips, and somebody's from Alabama, and, you know, somebody, we come up with different backgrounds. So that menu and that delivery system has to be educational to the folks that don't understand it. We say, oh, H2F is great. Holistic fitness, great. We spend $1 billion on a gym. We get all these trainers. Then we don't feed them. We give them cans of green beans or frozen vegetables, canned vegetables with a sodium level through the roof. We spend about $10.5 billion a year on obesity-driven disease pills. We're doing that. And here's the knock-on effect, because now I'm going to your era. You are now your age. Your service to this great nation, thank you very much for your service, which is amazing. But look, now as you get older, you need more things. So it's not only you are young and full of, go and get it. And now as you get older, things start to happen to our bodies. They break down a bit. It costs more money in the end, instead of saying, hey, Jack Tilly, you're going to eat this. You're going to do this. You're going to do this. And when you're 65 or 70, you're going to be like a superstar. You'll be doing marathons.
Well, you know what I've told myself, I work out every day. I take one out. I don't physically strong, but I do the elliptical. I used to run a lot and stuff like that. But but I try to do something, either walk 5 miles, play golf for 4 hours, or go to the gym for an hour. But the one thing when you was talking about all this stuff, I'm sure you read the book, Who Moved My Cheese? People just don't like change. And it's the military the same way. They don't like change. They sort of get in the same gear, not doing anything, stay right there. And if you start changing things, they get a little bothered. We got to jump on. I could probably talk to you for 2 or 3 days about this stuff. But I have a question for you. I understand you have a program of veterans to pursue careers in the culinary art industry. What's it called, and how does it work?
Well, so we started. It wasn't me that started this. Yeah. It was a lieutenant commander, JAG. His name's Jordan Foley. So he started this program where, I give an example, Jack wants to be in the food industry. So we send you to college. You go to college. We pay for it no matter where you live. I think last year we did 55,000 hours of education. We buy the food truck. I give you the food truck. I wrap the food truck. I train you in the food truck. You've got a choice. And I just literally, the Eagles game on Sunday, I just give a big check away to Farina food truck, a pasta food truck in Atlantic City, who feeds homeless veterans.
Oh, wow.
So it teaches a business. If they want to get out and go into the brick and mortar business, I will take them from the truck, take the truck back, rewrap it with somebody else, and so on and so on. So you get a chance to be trained in business. You get a chance to have your own business. And literally 2 weeks ago, I just gave my third Marine a food truck at my Beats and Eats event on Monday night a couple of weeks ago. It's a $100,000 gift.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And then we insure it, and we make sure that they're trained, they go to school for the real nuts and bolts of how to make money, right? I've got single dads, couples, I've got coffee trucks, I've got taco trucks, they keep all the money. I don't need the money. What I'm doing is educating them. And we work very closely with disabled American veterans who I put an entrepreneur, they put it on, I go and speak at it. And so funny because I had a woman who wanted to get in the food business. Well, we're in the CPG business. We have a lot of products. And she showed me the wrapping. I said, oh my God, that's terrible. Send me a wrapper. I get my team to redesign it, literally turn it around 8 hours. And now she's in Walmart and Whole Foods and you know, whatever. To me, that's success.
Yeah.
Seeing someone else succeed, it should give you the biggest joy in the world. Not trying like, you know, we're such a jealous race, right? Human beings are just, they don't like to see others succeed. And I don't know why.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, all the time you're talking about it, I used to say, just tell me what you want done and get out of my way. I'll get it done. The second thing I was thinking about, too, is you should have a beard and a hat and a Santa hat right there because you're giving a lot of Christmas presents.
Yeah, I do, Jack. I'm like you. You give them turkeys.
Yeah.
I give somebody, you give somebody a turkey, they can eat a meal.
Absolutely.
If you teach people how to fish,
Absolutely.
We've got to give them the tools to be able to do the job. And I think, you know, Dan Daly was a great.
Oh, you, great, you super know, guy. Yeah.
The people who have followed you in your footsteps and stood on your shoulders and continue to do that, right? Who are selfless human beings that just want to see soldiers, sailors, airmen, they want to see them succeed. And give them the life skills to be able to leave the service at some point and move forward. And I think that's the biggest highlight. I just did a dinner in Vegas yesterday, tribute to the troops, which I do every year. And I saw people from Afghanistan from 16 years ago that I did a meal with. And it may have been a hot dog or a piece of chicken. I can't remember what it was. But it was 16 years ago, you know, 18 years ago. And they just keep saying, thank you. I'm like, no, thank you. I mean, you're worn the cloth of our nation. And you know, how can I help you? What can I do to make it easier? And this is a true story. I give everybody my email. I said, hey, you need something or you just need to talk? Here's my number. Yeah. Call me.
You know, again, it's funny you say that because the little things in life for a soldier, no matter what service, but the little things in life mean a lot. I remember being deployed to different places and running to soldiers and talking to them and just patting on the back or just sitting there talking to them. They will never forget that, what you've done for them. So that's for sure. Hey, the well-being, go ahead. You want to say something? I don't want to cut you.
I was just going to say, I just met with the new CEO of USO, Mike Linnington, who I've known for a while, Lieutenant General, retired. And I said to him, you know what you're going to get back to? Taking care of people. Because we've lost through COVID, we lost all those movements. We've got to get people out to the bases. We've got to get them entertained. We've got to go Bob Hope again. We've got to get back to letting them know that we care. And I think the leadership we have now is so good. And now we've got to pounce on it to get it back to where it was, right? Our military leadership I'm talking about right now. Just General Smith, Randy George, Cordell, all these amazing people. Now's the time, and it was Randy George, and I will give him all kudos for this because he was the one through JBLM when he was a 3-star that said, "Hey, we can do better than this, can't we?" I said, "Yes, we can, sir." And he put on that chief's uniform and called me in his office. He wasn't even confirmed, and he said, "Hey, I want to do this." And I said, well, you've got to clear the path for me to bulldoze through it.
Well, you know,
and he has.
Yeah. Well, a soldier, I always say a soldier because I was an Army soldier, but they know if you care. They know if they can trust you and you'll do the right kind of things with them. Hey, I know that well-being and mental health of our veterans and military in the military community is really so important to you. How is the program, you may have touched on this already, Breaking Bread with Heroes addressing this issue?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, you can see a new show on Netflix now called Waves and War. It's about PTS of SEAL teams and you know, high value operators. which to me is everybody that puts on a uniform.
Yeah.
And especially in your era, Jack, in World War II and Vietnam. And so a couple of things, breaking bread with heroes. I've always found that food, obviously I'm a chef, but I'm like you, work out every day. I believe in mind-body connection. I believe that food was always good. So for years, I've been around the USO and Armed Forces Entertainment and vice chairman and chairman's tours, cooking food in Afghanistan for 1,000 people.
Yeah.
In the middle of the war, right? So for me, it was all about a plate of food and talk to me. Break down the barriers that food does. So breaking bread with heroes does exactly that. I go and feed them between 300 and 3,000 twice a week somewhere around the world. Even if I'm not there, I've got people there. And we just break down, sit down. And I think we've got away from, you know, the younger generation doesn't want to sit in a chow hall because they're all depressing. They're you know, slop. And that's not what you want. So I can't say everyone's the same. So don't be giving me the hate mail. but 90% of them are. The legacy dining facilities that nobody wants to go into if they don't want to. I want to change that. I want freshness. That's why we're doing the finalization. But Breaking Bread with Heroes does that. And we do that twice around the world somewhere. I told you we're going to Romania next. We've done Poland, Afghanistan, Iraq, Spain. I just came back from Rota, Spain, Sigonella, and Naples a couple of weeks ago. So that's one of the programs. The mental health. Now, here's the fun part. So on this Netflix show, it talks about a bunch of hard-hitting SEAL teams from the Operation Red Wings, and I know a lot of them, right? Jay Redman and all these guys. And it talks about the journey of doing psychedelics. Well, I have a young man. His name is David Reed. He lost his leg. He was a Ranger, semi-pro Ranger. Lost his leg in Afghanistan. He joined me on a march, 54 miles, 11 years ago. He was going to be a doctor for 5 years. I said, one person you can help, but what about changing the world? Mm-hmm. Come and follow me for a year. And he did, and he's been working with me for 11 years now. He's like my son. He's like my son. He said, I've heard about this program, and it's the same psychedelic program that's on now Netflix. He went to it, came back a different human being. It cost me, I think, $8,000 at that time. I don't know what it is now. But he came back a different person. I said, okay, well, if it worked for you, why won't it work? How do we get that bigger and give the options to do it? We've got another one, Taylor Krieger. I did a movie. It's on Amazon Prime called Hella High Seas. He brought me all the footage. A kid wanted a Navy rescue swimmer, put a gun to his head, didn't go off. What was going on in his life, nobody will ever know at that time. But he bought a sailboat, sailed around Cape Horn, redid it, fitted it from a video on YouTube. Now he has two sailing ships. He sails around the world, races with veterans. He's got his tequila line. He's doing great things for veterans. So for me, I partner with people. Elizabeth Dole, Face the Fight. I mean, I have on my refrigerator, you can't see it, but three buddy cards on that refrigerator over there that I call and I change them every week, right? Here's my three, here's my three, here's my three, and I carry three in my wallet. My buddy check, right? So I believe in if we can get, and last year, and you're welcome anytime, last year I took 65 folks to England, Scotland, 26, 38, or 54 miles. We do a regimental dinner. I bring my chefs in. I buy the village of Dunkeld. I'm taking 100 this year and hopefully 200 next year. And what it is, it's just getting them out of their four walls and getting back in that tribal mentality of being around people that are like-minded, that pull you from that thought process. And I have a couple of master gunnery sergeants last year, male and female, by the way, a couple of army guys. This was their test. Do they continue or do they finish their life? And it was heartbreaking to me. But I see where they are now. I see them every couple of months. And now they become mentors to young kids because of this march or this is bike or this is so. Breaking Bread with Heroes is great, feeding people. But then the fitness program that we have, but all the other things, not just marches, but all over the world, we put them on a plane and we say, hey, look, let's go and walk 54 miles and eat and drink and just get to know each other. I think that is such a great way to break down barriers of fear, which is number one, and sharing something with people that really understand.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. All the time you're talking about the connection of people, they just need somebody to talk to. Veterans are just looking for somebody to communicate with them and speak the same kind of language, which you said just a minute ago. And sometimes that's the biggest struggle. I don't know if you know this or not, but we put it out during the show, but there's 200,000 veterans that are incarcerated in our country. 86,000 are homeless. And the numbers probably changed, but since 2001, there's been about 125,000 veterans that have taken their life by suicide. And I try to find everywhere, just like you do, to figure out exactly what can we do to help our veterans community out. Hey, we need to take another quick break when we come back. In fact, we'll be right back. I've got a lot more questions for you anyway. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes a transition so much easier.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Chef Robert Irvine, founder of the Robert Irvine Foundation. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, if I've said, many times, reach out to me. Just like Robert said a minute ago, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like us to cover. You can call me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Just like Robert, guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Hey, Robert, what does the future hold for the Robert Irvine Foundation?
I think we've really talked about what are we going to change next. And for me, the big thing is the SNAP benefits for our military, which hopefully will then turn into civilian better SNAP benefits, the modernization of the Joint Force. I'm having so much fun. I travel 345 days a year. My wife, I took her to Iraq and Afghanistan at the height of the war, and she said to me, "I really understand why you do it."
Yeah.
Because she's Canadian, like the English, we don't really do much for our service members, and nor the Canadians. But I think more of that. Me, I want to be a servant. I want to be a vessel for change. And I don't care how many people I piss off.
Like a good NCO. I like that.
because I know, I think I've had enough travel and enough in the military to know, even the base visits I do now, I get told by people, right? This is, will make you laugh, Jack. I get people that tell me we don't have knives. I will go into a galley or anywhere, take a knife, and I will do this in front of the warrant officer. I couldn't cut myself with this knife. How do you think you can cut vegetables? And I send them, and I've just sent the Eisenhower, I can't remember the Eisenhower, but one of the carriers, 26 sets of 7 knives each to use.
Yeah.
I just want to change. I just want to be when I leave this world, whenever that is, I want somebody to say, this is what he did for us. Not this is what he did for himself. What did I do to make the world a better place? Our military, that I give 1,000% to every day I get out of bed. And that's all I got. I love it. And I don't think I'm very blessed because my wife allows me to do it and is with me when I do it. She's got her own career. So sometimes it's the detriment of, you know, my daughter had a baby 2 days ago. I literally got a 45-minute visit with her because I was so busy, right? And that you say, well, that's very selfish. And it is. You know, there'll be a lifetime for me with a grandbaby. There's only so much time I have that I can really effect change. So that's what's up for me. I mean, we'll be traveling, keep doing things that we can do and listening, just like you said, to people that say, well, why haven't you done my facility? Why haven't you done this? You know, I was told, oh, we're going to do more facilities. I said, no, let's get the five we've got. Let's make them perfect. Yeah. Or it's close to perfect, so we have a blueprint, and then we can roll out everywhere.
And then you see what right looks like. Absolutely.
Yeah. So the big five are I'm in right now, and I'm finding Kingston not in my system. My system is pretty foolproof. It's the purchasing of the product, the training of the. You know, I've got a small but mighty team. We spend months of training chefs. And people who run the facilities, not like just a sergeant first class that comes in and says, oh, I got to follow this. No, this is new. We're not doing it this way anymore. This is what we're doing. And this is, you're responsible for this. There you go. I give you a working, amazing thing where people are going to go, instead of, oh, what's this crap? Oh, my God, this is amazing. We can literally, almost to the point, make each individual person a separate feeding map. Literally, I can change you and me and be different, but have the same food in the dining facility.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, with that scientific.
Yeah.
Special Operations does it. They've been doing it for a long time with no meal. So I believe if they can have it, why can't everybody else?
You know, it's really funny. The Air Force, when I used to go eat in an Air Force dining facility, they were sort of regimented like that. And I always used to go back and say, why can't we do the same thing? So I don't know. If somebody wants to reach, I got some more questions. We probably don't have time for me to ask all the questions. If I want to reach out to you or somebody wants to reach out to you, you know, for the Robert Irvine Foundation, what's the best way to contact you? Is there a phone?
You can go to Robert Irvine Foundation, one word.
Yeah, yeah.
.org. And it gets to me immediately.
Yeah.
You know, by all means, feel free to reach out. And if there's something that we need to be doing that we're not doing, then, hey, we're open to a conversation here. But I think we're doing an awful lot of stuff.
It sounds like you are.
Some would say too much.
I look at the for the old guy, is there a phone number too? I always asked, is there a phone number too, Robert, if they want to reach out? Or do you just the website's the best?
No, it's best by email because the phone, we're normally on a plane, literally.
Yeah.
So it's better to email. We get the emails on a plane.
Yeah.
And if we need to call you, then you put your
the information in there. So then kind of.
But it always comes through email. Then we can actually literally, oh, by the way, we need a, because we have different pieces of the organization that deals with different things.
Yeah.
So we can put it in the right box. And if it's me you need to speak to, then it's me you speak to.
There you go.
You know, I'm not a guy that hides behind the big, you know, green castle in the sky.
Yeah. You want to talk, I'll talk to you. That's for sure. Hey, first of all, let me say this has been a great discussion, and I appreciate you taking the time. And I just by listening to all the things that you're doing, I know your schedule's tight. The other thing I got to tell you is, you know, I've been married a long time, just like you have, and the family is so important, and the time that you have with your spouse. I've got, you said you had a grandchild, I guess, or one child, yeah. Grandchild. I have five great grandbabies, and I love them to death. But I never watched my kids grow up. My kids yep. went from 3 to 23, just like that. So just advice from older guy, a little bit older than you, I think. But spend as much time as you can with your family because they're certainly important. Anyway, this has been a great discussion. Any final thoughts, anything that maybe you didn't talk about that you want to leave with the audience?
I would just say this. It doesn't cost money to be kind.
Oh, absolutely.
It costs a little bit of time. Helping somebody across the road, opening a car door, listening can save a life. If you go to a supermarket and you see the food being pushed to the side, because they can't afford it, and you can pay for it, maybe for a child that's not being fed.
Yeah.
We can all make a difference. And we don't have to be millionaires and billionaires. And it's just listening and helping people. And I think collectively, I leave everybody with that message, no matter where I am. And I get emails from people saying, oh, I bought somebody coffee. I bought a pair of shoes, socks, a sleeping bag. It fills my heart with joy to know that there are other people out there doing amazing things without fanfare.
Yeah.
So do it.
Yeah. I agree with that 100%. Every day of my life, not just me, but Ted and all the guys I work with, we try to do all we can for the veteran community. Last thing before we get off the show here, I'm going to do a golf tournament down in Tampa in April. So I may send you an invitation if you're available, come and play golf or do something with us. But it's been such an honor having you on the show. And thanks for just taking the time. I know you're busy, but I certainly appreciate it. And if we can ever help you in any way, please let us know. But thanks for just talking to us this morning.
And right back at you, because you're a legend.
In my own mind.
There's not many Jack Tillys around.
You know, it's funny you say that, because when you turned around, when I seen you up at up in D.C. and you turn around and says, oh, Sir Rich Joe, you're a legend. I tell that story to everybody. I say, oh, Robert Irvine called me a legend.
Yeah. Hey, listen, I'm blessed, Jack, to go to 150 bases a year plus. And I listen. I'm a really good listener.
Yeah.
Because I find out more from people by listening and talking.
Yeah.
And when they tell me these things, and I'm like, oh, you know, I can then, when I meet, you know, they say don't meet your heroes because you're sometimes let down by them.
Yeah.
It's the true statement.
Yeah, it is.
You know, when you meet people that you hear so much about that are actually the same people you hear about, it's so much more fruitful and rich because you didn't let me down.
Yeah. There you go. Well, I used to tell people I am what I am, and that's all I am. Just like Papa, I am never going to change. I am what I am. God bless you. Robert, you're a great person. Please, maybe next year or down the road, we'll bring you back on the show. We'd love to have you come back on again. But I appreciate you coming on the show.
That.
God bless.
Keep doing great work.
Thank you. Thanks again to Robert Irvine for being with us. I'm Jack Tilly, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on our website at yournextmission.org, where you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with the Recruit Military and Opline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job for real time. You can follow me on all my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and of course, Rumble! And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134. Send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Robert for joining us. I tell you what, it was such a just great talking to him. And I got to tell you something. This is my final thoughts. Now, I am so pumped up. I'm pumped up about people that love our military, love our service members, love our families, and want to do all they can to make a difference in the lives of our veterans and their families. You know, too many of us talk about doing things. Too many of us sit back and say, you know, we should be doing this, we should be doing that. He's not talking. He's making a difference in the lives of so many each and every day. Thanks for watching, and thanks to New Mind Steelers, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.